Good morning. Very, very, very good to see familiar faces that we haven't seen in a while. So welcome if you are visiting with us this morning. For those whose faces we don't know as visitors this morning, welcome to you also. I pray that with the hospitality of the Lord, the hospitality of this congregation, you will feel very much at home by the end of this service. I'm trying to catch my breath. there have been multiple things going on this weekend, all of which have been wonderful and celebratory, and ones that we have given thanksgiving to God for. We want to continue, Blair, to keep you and your family in our prayers as we celebrated Pat's life yesterday and remembered him. For those of you who went light looking last night, it was absolutely gorgeous. And Michelle, wherever you are, you were right. It set my mood back into a joyful mood. It was really wonderful to be with you all. This morning, we have Jan Anderson, who is going to come and share just a moment of mission with us about our Christmas offering.
Good morning.
Ooh, that was loud. That woke you up. I'm David's proxy, so I hope I do as well as he always did. This is the Christmas season. It's the joy offering time. We have people in the community and outside the community that need our help. We'll have joy offering envelopes. And this year, and then we also have inserts that will explain further, more than I can do, on what's happening, where it's going. This year, our Eastminster Christmas offering will go to denominational Christmas joy offerings, such as retired pastors, church workers, racial and ethnic schools and colleges, into our wonderful Presbyterian children's home and services. The Christmas envelopes, again, will be provided in the pews for your use, or you may use a regular envelope. So please keep them in your hearts, and please give what you can. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to believe that this is the second Sunday of Advent, that next week we will celebrate, or this coming weekend, we will celebrate our Christmas village, that we are moving toward lessons and carols, and believe it or not, Christmas Eve. And so I continue to pray for you, and I ask that you pray for me, that in the hurry and the scurry and the hustle and the bustle of this season, that we still stop and we still remember the true reason for the season. And speaking of celebrations and parties and reasons for seasons, Fred will be entering a new season of his life, and we are going to celebrate big time following worship, right at our following worship today. And so for those of you who like to party, we invite you to come immediately after the service to the fellowship hall and join us. This is an open invitation, no reservations required, and I assure you we will have some fun. You will hear beautiful music and simply enjoy one another's company. And so, Fred, to you we say, even this morning, happy birthday. And we will sing later. Take a moment to look at all of the other announcements that are in the bulletins. And also, if you are one of the few, and I think there's about two now, who have not returned the final gifts for the Christmas Village, if you could get those in, then we will make sure that every child has everything that we have told them that they will have and that they can celebrate next weekend with us. Take a moment to look in your bulletins for our prayer concerns. And also joys. There are a lot of those that look on this, on the sheet you have today as concerns. A lot of those have turned into joys. Jennifer Garrett is not does not have a kidney stone any longer. In Jennifer's words, she birthed that baby and it is gone. And so, and also, we are glad that Mary Ellen's family are doing well. We continue to keep Doyle in our prayers. He continues to remain in the hospital, and so do that. And then I got a message from Michelle Wyatt last night, and Duke is not doing well at all. And so please continue to keep him in your prayers. Are there other prayer concerns or joys that I have missed this morning? If not, then again, I say welcome to all of you who are here as our guests. And if you would not mind taking the pew tablet, signing it, letting us know of your presence. And then, if you will, take a moment. Let the Spirit settle upon you. As I told Vicki, as we were preparing this morning, this is, believe it or not, the place where we truly can just sit and we can let the Spirit give us the kind of rest that we need to put us into the next week. And so with joy in our hearts, let us worship God. And we began that worship this morning by continuing to give thanksgiving for these beautiful symbols of our faith that have grown even from last week. And so I ask you to join me as we bless them. How will we continue preparing God's house for the coming of the Christ child? The evergreen of the tree stands tall and strong. So how will we adorn it?
We will clothe it with symbols of our faith, crowns for King, our prophet, the priest, stars for birth and life, crosses for death and resurrection, bells for signs of peace, the hallowed and the maker, our beginning and our end.
And as we surround ourselves with evergreens and with symbols of our faith, we remember also the words of the prophet Isaiah. And with thanksgiving, we shout out, glory to God in the highest.
Thank you. we light the second candle of Advent.
We seek your comfort as both mighty and tender. Prepare our hearts to be transformed by you. Together we pause for a few moments, remembering times we sought out our mighty God and our God of tenderness. Isaiah announced God's coming to people exiled into a broken and parched wilderness. He declared that God's redemption would make a highway into the desert and change the rough places into plain. God would come as a shepherd, feeding, leading, and cradling the weary flock. This Advent, we seek such a God. For the God of comfort who brings saving grace through the light of Christ and guides our path, we say, thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth, for you are God, our Savior, and our hope and peace are in you all day long. Amen. Today's reading from the Old Testament is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, and you can find that in your pew Bible on page 640. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat the straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Oh,
The gospel lesson this morning comes from the third chapter of Matthew, the first 12 verses. We get to hear once again from that man that we often describe as crazy, as dirty, as smelly, as stinky, but one who brings to the world the best of news. Listen as we hear John's story. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness says, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight the paths." Now John was wearing a coat of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. When the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were coming out to him and all of the regions around the Jordan, they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, and they were confessing their sins. But when John saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Don't assume to say to yourself that we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree, and every tree, therefore, that doesn't bear good fruit will be cut down, and it will be thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not even worthy to wear or carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor. He will gather up his wheat into the granary, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Words ultimately of salvation, words not always easy to hear, but thanks be to God, words that last forever. Amen. Faith doesn't ask, who's normal? As in, who is normal? It asks, who's normal? By whose standards do we live our lives? And as we know, as people of faith, there can only be one answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ. But the wonderful twist to that is that Jesus' life was far from the norm. And that's where we find ourselves today, once again, trying not to judge a person who by the world's standards is anything but normal. And you know, no matter how many times this loudmouth, dirty, hairy, messy, bug-eating preacher shows up during Advent, we just have a hard time calling him normal. But you know, his job that he was called to do, to announce the coming of the Messiah, well, it wasn't a normal Messiah that he was called to usher in. This Savior was God. He was God in the flesh. And thanks be to God and Jesus that the power of saving ourselves from sin never was, never is, and never will be normal. In our Advent lesson on Wednesday evening, we listened to a song that captures that sense of amazement that God works in and through those of us who just go about our everyday normal routines and normal living. And it is entitled, A Strange Way to Save the World. Speaking of Joseph, the lyrics go like this. I'm sure that he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him and caused him never in a million years to dream that he would have gone to Bethlehem. And there, standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angels come to life. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a man of simple trade. Why him of all of the rulers in the world? Why here inside this hay-filled stable? And why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now, I'm not one to second-guess what the angels have to say, but this is a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved, there would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason that love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. And why him of all of the rulers in the world? Why here in this stable filled with hay? And why her? She's just an ordinary girl. I'm not one to second guess what the angels have to say, but this surely is a strange way to save the world. In all sincerity, thanks be to God that John, who ushered in this strange way to save the world, was also not normal by the world's standards. This messy messenger surprises us all by doing what is actually contradictory to humans who like to talk about ourselves a little bit too much. John always points to the other. He's not trying to win favor with a captive audience with all of his rantings. He is fully focused on giving his attention to someone who is greater than himself. And for all of the attention that he is getting, he truly, truly wants the Savior, the Messiah, to be front and center in everything that he does. In a world that places so much emphasis on family blood and family lines and tradition and law, John does something that would have never, ever been considered normal to his Jewish family. He tells them that they are certainly not acting like a family, and he pretty much warns them that if you are going to claim Abraham as an ancestor, then you better start acting like him. God said go, and Abraham went. Abraham and Sarah changed the course of their lives because of their faith in God's guidance. And this message, John says, is that the new Messiah will bring a new change, a new direction. So for all of you there, change course, turn around, repent, he shouts out like a crazy man, because the one who is coming into the world, well, with him, things will never be normal, at least by the world standards. And then to top off that not normal, he goes on to call out the religious elite of his day. He calls them a bunch of snakes, and then he calls them to task. He points out that they might be living in the law, but they certainly are not doing the new and the right and the radical living that the Savior is going to come and usher in. So he says, you know what, you better start doing it now before that axe falls and the tree comes tumbling down. So, how's that for merry ho, 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 and joy to the world? Like I said, it is ultimately about salvation. It is hard for us to hear, though. There is a right, there is a wrong, there is good, and there is evil in the world. And John says, it's time that we know the difference, and it's time that we choose what a sin-filled world would not choose. Some of those religious elite were snakes. Some of them still are. But some of them were sincere, and some still are. But brood of vipers are not. It would have never been normal in John's world for these Pharisees and these Sadducees to come to him seeking out cleansing by means of baptism. They were, after all, already clean. They're holy men. But in this new world that Jesus would usher in, a world of not normal, we find that these religious types might really themselves be looking for, searching out something because their souls are also dry. And whether we're comfortable with this or not, it is quite normal for us religious types to elevate what we do in church to a higher level than how we treat one another in and out of the church. And John looks at that attitude square in the face and he says, in Jesus' world, this'll never fly, folks. Loving one another is always going to win out over doing church right. John is crying out for all of us to never let our religious institutions become substitutes for that real heart deep relationship that we have with our Lord and with one another. And I like these contemporary words or contemporary take on John's words. They say, the empty place in us cannot finally be filled by stuff. It cannot be filled by success. It cannot be filled by culture. It cannot even be filled by religion. It can only be filled by the infinite, by God himself. So, what was this empty space in people who were coming to John? And what is the empty space in us that keeps us coming back to Jesus? I will tell you, I keep coming back to Jesus, back to this body of Christ, because I long for that promise of a world made different because Jesus didn't fit the norm. And I want to stop right here and add just a little commentary. Yesterday, when I finished with the service, I was not sure if I was going to go light looking or not, and Michelle wonderfully said, it will do you some good. And I said, okay, I need to run errands, but I really have to finish the sermon. So I ran my errand, I came back. I had marked where I'd stopped in the sermon. I came back and I sat in my chair and I fell asleep. And so, the last words when I got home last night were, I keep coming back to Jesus, coming back to this body of Christ, because I long for the promise of a world made different, because Jesus doesn't fit the norm. This is where I picked up. And you have to remember, this is after a little less than 2 hours with a bunch of people on a bus looking at lights. What I said was, I gathered here with all of you not normal people, myself included, because I find hope for the world that God envisioned. In a world where human evil and sin and hatred and violence have become the norm, I think I'm like you. I ache for those destructive forces to be turned around, to be turned into God's vision of Shalom, into God's peace. And even for us who the world might call privileged, life has those rough spots in it. We hit those proverbial rough patches, and it seems like peace just gets chopped off, just like that stump. And for some reason, we think that's bad. Well, believe it or not, Isaiah and Matthew and the Lord say, not so. Just as the people of Matthew's time and Isaiah's time and our time need to hear that message of hope in the dark of rough times, we can turn to Isaiah's promise that from that stump, from that which seems to be cut off in our lives, comes rebirth and renewal and returning. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says that most people view a stump as an eyesore. And I think I have told you this before, or Bible scholars that you are, you probably already know it, but it's good to be reminded that those little shoots that grow out of the stumps of trees that are so irritating to us sometimes, they're called suckers. And there are ways that they can be sealed off so that they won't grow into new life. Well, Brueggemann says that Israel's enemies have tried everything that they can do to seal off the root of the throne of King David, in essence, to destroy the genealogy of Jesus. And somehow there is still life in that burned out stump. A tiny little sucker just keeps coming back and back and back. And in spite of the fact that it may be weak, in spite of the fact that it may be fragile, it grows. That is a message for our lives. It's also a message for the life of the church, Christ Church Universal, Eastminster. And I'm not talking about what the world calls normal, as in growth in numbers. I'm talking about growth in spirit. When you and I allow the Spirit to grow and to move and to shake within us, God is going to take care of whatever growth looks like in God's eyes. And so here we are in the midst of the season of hope, in a world where it is good to know whose normal it is that we're imitating. It's good to know that in this world, it's okay to be fragile. It's okay to start over. It is okay to draw new life for a stump. And thanks be to God who never sealed off that stump of Jesse. It's good for us to remember that out of branches on trees, those branches grow from the edge. They get their strength from the trunk. They get their stability. But it is those tiny little fragile twigs that grow. The gift of salvation comes to us, fragile as we may be, by one who is more powerful than John, more powerful than us, more powerful than anyone or anything who tries to chop it or seal it off. The promise of God is more powerful than the destructiveness of humanity. What is not normal will be normal in God's world. The wolf and the lamb will lie down together. And John echoes this when he says, the world of this new Messiah is never, ever going to be normal. And you and I get to see that from time to time. We get to see new life springing from old. And every now and then we get to see one of those little shoots bursting forth from some sort of dead stump in our lives or someone else's. What seemed like the end of something worth living, we see that now being transformed in front of our eyes. And people, when hope seems hopeless, we get to see them lifted up and carried through by the faith and the hope, perhaps not theirs at that moment, but by the faith and the hope of those who surround them and who hold them and hold faith until they can take it back. As children of God, as followers of Christ, we're not fragile people. By the power of the Spirit within us, we are strong, and we can grow into new life because there is something better for us, something better coming for us, something better coming from us, and best of all, someone better coming to us. That tiny child Jesus who came to save us and the world from ourselves in the strangest way, and who came to promise that life, that those who love with the love of the Lord will never be normal, not in the world's eyes. The question of faith is not about who is normal. That's to be a reminder for us of the real question that John puts before us, that essential question of faith. Whose normal are we going to imitate? Amen.
We've heard the word of the Lord read and proclaimed, the very word that gives strength to our faith. Embracing that strength, will you please stand and join us together? We affirm what we believe. We believe in God,
whose love is manifest.
Dear God, in this season of expectation, we prepare to welcome you into the bustle of our lives and those hard-to-find moments of solitude. We prepare to welcome you into our homes and our situations along with families and friends. We prepare to welcome you into our hearts and, yes, Lord, even into those often hidden parts of our life. We welcome the answered prayers. We give thanksgiving, God, for those prayers yet to be answered. Lord, we are grateful
thankful for Derek's new job. We ask for healing for Terry. Lord, we ask that the Torres and the Elliott families' words fall upon your ears. We continue to ask for your presence with Jane and her family, with Joe. We continue to ask that, Lord, for Duke and for Doyle. And we give thanksgiving for answered prayers with Jennifer, with the Savage family, and Lord, upon our hearts, we also lift up to you Jennifer and her mom Joyce as they move forward into that next stage of life. Lord, we prepare to welcome you even from beneath the surface of your story, with that inescapable fact that you entered this world as vulnerable as any one of us in order to nail that vulnerability to the cross. And so our fears, our insecurities, our sins, all of those things that can separate us from you, you exchanged for your grace and for your love. And we can't comprehend the reasoning. We can only marvel, God, that salvation comes to us through a baby born in a stable and reaches out to a world in need. And so, Lord, in this season of anticipation, we continue to prepare ourselves to welcome you and to do so praying the prayer that you have taught us as your family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the
please join in the prayer of thanksgiving. God of peace, guided by
today, may the same words of the Spirit that fell upon Jesus fall upon us. May the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the awe of the Lord fall upon us all. And may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share Christ's peace with one another.